Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time. It's Thursday, and you know what's really funny? This is the first time in probably about the last 3 hours that I've actually been able to speak sort of normally. I spent a little over two hours in the dentist chair this morning, and I cried. It was very painful, and I think I'm terrified about dentists. I don't know if I ever want to see a dentist ever again, but we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. They took all the metal fillings out and replaced them with composite filling because, as you know, metal's not good. And when I was a little girl, my grooves were so deep in my teeth that even brushing wasn't going to prevent cavities because the brush wouldn't reach the grooves. So they, one dentist just went in, filled them all up with metal, and now they're taking them out. But in the process of taking them out, they made me cry. I was in so much pain. They gave me 4 Novocaine shots, and I'm just starting to feel my lips again. Very bizarre feeling. So if you want to call in, Michael's out there. I know he's out there. 929-477-1165. And I'm so excited about having Michael on because he is a rainmaker. He's helping the world become a better place in regards to, you'll never believe it, homelessness. Yes, my topic of the day, homelessness. How do we prevent it? What do we do? You know, how do we characterize it? How do we help people? Because homelessness is ridiculous in the United States, a country that it shouldn't be so prevalent, and it truly, truly is. And there was a statistic that came out last week that foster care children are becoming more and more noticed on the streets as well because they don't have the kind of support system that you might think that they would have or resources. And that's really kind of scary. You know, you graduate high school, you think that you're well on your way, and adulting is not what it's cracked up to be. So if you're a kid out there listening, don't grow up too fast. Not what it's cracked up to be. I'm just waiting for Michael to dial in so he can introduce himself and tell us all about his passion. And let's see. I just talked to him, so I know he's trying to dial in. What else is going on in the world? The world is just crazy. Aside from getting all of my almost all of my metal out. I couldn't take more than 2 hours. I was pretty much done with that. There's a lot going on. I'm writing a speech for a women's group that I will be speaking at this summer in Nevada and working on the videos and the movie, the TV series that we're doing. It's just been crazy lured. I don't know which end of me is up. Truly, I do not. And it's been colder than heck here in South Florida. Yes, I said South Florida, and it woke up to 29 degrees yesterday morning. Are you kidding me right now? Somebody pay your part of the heating bill, Lurd. Michael, if you're out there, 929-477-1165. Otherwise, we have to reschedule. Today is actually kind of nice. It's 75 degrees. That's my favorite weather, 75. That's the way it should be. He's probably walking his dog. Oh, and I don't know if I told you guys last week that I am going on another radio program. It is really quite cool. They have many, many, many more stations across the world. And so this broadcast is going to be far more reaching than it is on Blog Talk. But that's kind of cool. I'm grateful about that. That was a great opportunity. And then, all right, well, I don't know where he is. I'm sitting in the Starbucks parking lot because I left the dentist later than I thought I would, and I'm really craving coffee, but my mouth is not fully unnumbed yet, so I don't think I'll be able to have coffee quite yet. And I think Michael's on. Now it's just time for me to try to unmute him. I'm coming, Michael. I'm coming. Something's wrong with Black Talk. Okay. Let's try to unmute you, buddy. Are you there, my friend?
Hello?
Hello, Michael!
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me?
I apologize. Yes, I can.
No worries. No apologies. Say hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty. Who are you? What do you do? And what makes you ooey-gooey on the inside? We've been dying to talk to you.
All right. Well, good. Thank you for having me on, Rusty, and sorry about the misunderstanding on my part. So my name is Michael Barnes. I am the founder of a company called Awakened Innovation, and we help nonprofits to do better. Now, that's all sorts of cool stuff, but what I'm really passionate about right now is a movement that I'm starting called Starting With Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness. And so we are starting with one event here in Cincinnati, which is why it's called Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness. And the structure is we get 100 people in the room per weekend, come up with innovative solutions related to homelessness, and then implement those. So these solutions could be for-profit companies, nonprofits, social ventures, could be a marketing campaign, an app. We have all sorts of cool ideas. But really, we want to get the wisdom of the community to help us understand what are the best solutions for our community and what are the solutions that the community wants to hear or wants to implement. And that's what really gets me ooey-gooey inside these days.
Well, and what's fantastic about what you're doing is you're taking a no-nonsense and real approach to a very tough conversation, and that's what I respect about your process. Let's have solutions versus creating more problems and creating more drama. And I think we have a lot of that in society already. And it's really nice to have a forward-thinking individual who's like, dude, I just want solutions. I don't want your complaining. I don't want your negativity and your blame. Let's just figure out how to fix the problem. And we need more of that.
Exactly. Thank you. And I so agree with that. And let me give a bigger vision of what we're doing. So we're doing Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness first, and then our goal is to do it in 100 cities. So Chicago Hacking Homelessness, Dallas Hacking Homelessness, LA Hacking Homelessness. And then our third version is what I call City Hacking Issue. Because as you said, there are a lot of issues that need help. And we are creating a structured way for any community to identify what they think is the problem and then the solutions that they want. And it's all solutions. We're planning out, our intro and, at the beginning of the day, we're going to have agreements and, we have to agree on a purpose and we have to agree on how we're going to do things. And one thing we're going to talk about is there are people in this room that disagree with you. They disagree with you very strongly on a lot of things. But if we can agree on one thing and work towards that one thing, which is reduce the number of people without housing or however else we decide to express that, that's what counts, right? I want people, small government people. I want big government people. I want people who like government programs and people who like nonprofit programs and people who like for-profits. So I want everybody in there.
I think it's really interesting that a lot of other countries are able to be very proactive in this particular situation. But for some reason, it's just so passionately caustic in the United States to have a group of individuals, and I'm trying to be very polite about this, and you know me well enough, really
yeah.
But it's challenging to get a group of individuals just to tone down their temperament enough to have a conversation, not even about religion or politics or, you know, what the world is up to. It's merely, let's have an adult conversation and really narrow this down. And that's difficult in the U.S. I mean,
right.
Finland just came out with this great program where pretty much everybody's not homeless.
Right.
And it's a great program. So why can't we as a group sit down and look at these programs that are happening in other countries and say, huh, that's a great idea. Or maybe not so much this part, but maybe that part. And, you know,
right.
Frankenstein something together because it's working in other countries. it blows my mind that
yeah.
the U.S., one of the most powerful countries in the world, has such a vast issue with this problem.
Yeah. Well, I have kind of two pieces to an answer to that. So first off, we have a lot of divergent opinion and thinking here. And I'm not going to say that any one person or any one way of thinking is the right one. But what I want is everybody in a room, and we might have, I may have said this before, but, you know, there may be someone in there who really doesn't like homeless people. You know, they're failures, they're dirty, whatever. They're, you know, I'm afraid they're going to rape and kill my wife and daughter, right? We need to get them off the street. That person
yeah.
might very well feel more passionate about getting them off the street, as long as they agree that the goal is to get them into stable housing. Then they might actually come up with a better idea that will work faster.
Right.
I don't know. But we're looking for 15 solutions, 15 1% solutions. And so I don't need consensus. You know, coalesce around 15 ideas. And so, you know, there could be the big government solution. There could be the big business solution. There could be whatever else. The other thing, unrelated to what I do, but one of my significant interests and passions is a group here in the U.S. called Better Angels. And I'm currently working with them to see if I can get them to come out to my event. And their purpose, stated purpose, is to depolarize America. And the way they do that is they get what they call reds and blues into a room and sort of have discussions. So the way that it works, and those of the people listening may or may not know that, yes, we are perhaps a little too passionate and angry right now in the U.S. But the way it works is the reds get in a circle and talk to each other about a topic. And the blues listen. They don't react at all. And then they switch. The blues get in and talk about the same topic to each other. And the reds listen. And then at the end, you say, what do we have in common? Because so many people in the U.S. think, I have nothing in common with the Republicans, or I have nothing in common with the Democrats. But we do, right? I mean, maybe the most extreme on each side we don't. But in general, you know, everyone wants people to be happy and have a good life, right? And so if that's all you can agree on, start there. Right, and then find the next level that you agree on. And so I love Better Angels. I think that they are an awesome organization doing some awesome work. So I'm looking for them to join us for Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness. Maybe we will run a Better Angels, I don't know if it will be red-blue, but their workshop, just as a way to let people talk and get some things out. We'll see.
Well, and that's an excellent component for that, you know, for any discussion, because quite frankly, there's so much ignorance. And I mean that gently. It doesn't sound like I do, but I really genuinely mean that in a very gentle way.
There's too much not knowing information, yeah.
And I totally get the fact that you don't know what you don't know until you know. And that's been my motto for 20 some odd years. You just don't until you actually experience it. But larger than that, we are one of the most smartest generations everest. And I did that purposefully. You know, we can profess to Google everything. You know, we can go to any library in the world with a touch of our finger. Like, there's no reason to stay in that kind of narrow-minded mindset, whether blue or red or purple or green. I don't care what you are. But there are people out there that just can't step outside of their generational education and actually educate at a factual level. And I don't know how that would ever change.
Well, I think that it starts with what Better Angels is doing. Get into a room, and when I first heard it, and when I tell people about it, they first think, oh, you're trying to convince the other side of your ideas, but that's not it.
No.
The first thing is actually hear people from the other side, right? Because if you watch the news, I was reading some, I don't know what it was in the Washington Post, and it wasn't until I got like three paragraphs down I realized it was an opinion piece. And, you know, it's all about, you know, Donald Trump's legal team got up there and lied, and they're idiots, and that kind of stuff. And then I'm sure you can find the equivalent on the other side. Right.
Yeah.
But if that's all that you hear, you think people on the other side think that way. The reality is that the talking heads think that way, or at least say that. But most of us are somewhere in the middle. And so if you can hear people talk and actually listen to them, you've heard, you know, listen. What is it? Listen to understand, don't listen to respond.
Right.
So if you listen to understand, and that's what you're doing because you can't respond to them, you'll learn a lot. And you'll learn that you're not as different as you think. And you'll learn that there are commonalities between what you believe and the quote-unquote other side believes.
Well,
and
I think
it can be very powerful.
It's amazing when you are in this different space. Like, you and I are in a different place than a bunch of people. And we come from more of an educated understanding than a lot of people. And it frustrates me to no end when I see somebody on the street, you know, will work for food, or, you know, they're holding up their sign trying to make money. And or get food or whatever the case is. And then you have some asshat screaming, get a freaking job. Well, nine chances out of ten, they would love to get a job, but they don't have a place to hold their stuff or shower, or they're not even fully awake because you don't get full night's sleep when you're living on the streets. You can't. So there's all these components that make things even more difficult for homeless people that people like, go get a job, don't seem to really want to hear. You know, I have a sign that says, we'll work for food. Like, I'm trying to get a job, but I haven't been able to shower in 2 weeks because there's no showering facilities.
But many of those people, the reality is, a lot of those people, if you walk up and say, I've got a job, they'll say no thanks. And people have heard enough stories like that. People have had that experience enough that they become jaded. And, you know, it could be that it's, you know, 5% of them do that. I have absolutely no idea what the percentage is. It could be 1%, right? But we know that there's
a small
some
percentage
out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was one that I met, and I really felt bad for him because he had some learning disabilities and some mental issues and blah, blah, blah. And he was always on the corner. And I asked around town, you know, how can we help this person? Turned out he has a house. He does it because he can do it. And I'm like, well, now, damn, that's bad.
Right.
We can't do this, you know, because we don't want to offset the mission, which is for people who are legitimately homeless, getting them help. And it's become astronomical. I know.
And so that's a major challenge, right? So people make decisions based on feeling, right? 80% of a purchasing decisions are 80% feeling, 20% logic. They have a feeling for the decision, and then they use their logic to justify it. And so if you have heard even one story of people ripping off, you feel like, oh, my gosh, all these people are scam artists, and I heard this story, so it's right. And it makes it harder, too. And so, you know, I guess for me, I always come down on it's difficult all around. It's difficult for people to make the right decision. And even myself, I try to say I'd rather make the wrong decision and get ripped off than make the wrong decision and, you know, not help somebody. But, I mean, I don't stop by every homeless person and, you know, give them a job or give them 10 bucks or whatever. So, this is why I want to work at a higher level and why I want all of society involved, right? Because create a business or a for-profit venture or something that can help us to impact the homelessness numbers, the rate, whatever. Because if you do that, in my opinion, you can get more money and power and effort directed at it. You know, if you look at our economy, it's, you know, 90% for-profit, 8% government, and 2% nonprofit. So, you know, if you can get that 90% working on this problem also, just think of what we can do.
Yeah, and then I still try very hard to wrap my head around the fact that we are in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and there's such an apathetic attitude towards homeless people. And I can't wrap my head around why, you know. I've been watching this documentary on YouTube, and it'll bring you to tears. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's called Human. And so what they do is they interview various people from all over the world on their life. And it's a very quick interview with each person. I mean, they literally go all over the world. And it's like a four-part series. And you just sit there and you go, oh, my God, I just want to hug you. Like, you're so beautiful, and I'm so sorry that you feel this way. But that comes from a place where I genuinely believe we all should be coming from, where you sit down and you have just a little glimpse of someone else's life to open up your mind enough to understand that not all people, race, gender, sexuality, whatever, are bad, poor, rich, you know, and we don't do enough of that to make effective changes, I think. I don't know how you would get enough quality people in a room to really
It starts with two, right? Get two people in a room, and then get four, and then eight, and 16. So David Bruce Levin, I ran into online, he's been on my show, and he's starting something called The Swarm, and he wants to get 1 billion people to sign up at $1 a month. And yes, some people can't afford it, so get some wealthy people to subsidize those who can't. Okay. They decide on a problem each month and a solution each month, and then they've got $1 billion to put towards that solution.
That's cool.
Beyond that, what he's starting with sometime soon is he's going to do a tour across the country, and he wants to go to different cities and just talk to people. Sit down and talk to people, record them, and just do a listening tour so that people can be heard. He is in, I don't remember, but some very progressive county in California, and he called up the city office and said, you know, can I do this? They said, Well, no, you can't. And he said, why not? Well, you need to get a permit. Well, how do I get a permit? You don't. So you're telling me that I can't go out on the sidewalk and talk to people. Well, you can, but you can't record it. But these are adults, and they're going to, I'm going to ask them. I'm not going to hold them down. No, you can't do that. And so when you say, why can't we talk to people? I mean, I don't know what to tell you, right? I don't understand how you can say, no, you can't just walk out and talk to people. And so
that's very bizarre,
that layer.
But it sounds like that person is very obstinate about the idea.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I have said that I want to sit down with some people who are currently homeless and talk to them. I want to ask them, how did you get here? What is working and not working in the system right now? And what do you think are the solutions? Half the people in the anti-homelessness community that I mentioned that to are like, no, you can't do that. That's exploiting them. You know, one person told me, our people don't come here to be research subjects. I'm like, but I just want to talk to them.
It's so funny. I had this in college. I minored in art. Art therapy was what I wanted to be when I grew up. It didn't work out quite that way, but whatever. There was this professor that came along, and he was teaching photography. And I used to teach photography in high school, so this was just kind of like, I need the credits class, right? And he blatantly looked at the entire class and said, don't ever take a picture of a person. That's exploiting them. And I'm going through thousands of images in my head where, you know, you have
right.
these beautiful photos from all over the world, National Geographic being one of the largest, you know, I guess, exploitive magazines. I don't know.
Right.
And I'm like, no. You need to take those photos. You need to have that conversation. You need to capture the moment. Nope, it's exploitive. You can't do that to people.
Right.
What happens if they don't want their identity? You know, and it was just so obstinate about this idea of capturing the moment. And then I was like, oh, so we
right.
can't do that with animals either, huh? Yeah, and I can get really obnoxious when I want to.
Yeah.
And he just was so grounded in this thought that it's exploitation, and here I'm thinking it's art. You know, it's an expressive
right.
device in which we can recreate a moment within 1 second or millisecond, depending on your aperture settings, you know, like, and you'll
mm-hmm.
have that forever. And it's so beautiful. And it's just, it's mind-boggling to me that people are dead set on things like that.
My perspective is it's not exploitive, right? You know, granted, I think you should ask people's permission. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a big fan of, you know, secretly recording people. Okay, you know, you're investigative journalists. Go do your thing. I'm not even getting into that. But, you know, I would actually say, you know, this whole concept of being exploited is strange, right? You get to tell your story to the world. You get your 15 minutes of fame. And as long as you agree to it, it's not exploitive. I mean, you know, we could get back to, oh, you know, your job is exploitive. Well, you know what? They give me money. If you want to say it's exploitive, maybe I'm exploiting them for cash. Right, you know.
Right.
I think that in so many cases we call things exploitive when I think we need another word, because we think of exploitive as negative. Right? You were saying earlier people who are ignorant. And you meant, you know, people without knowledge, right? People think of the word ignorant as negative. People think of exploitive as negative. We need some sort of term that says, hey, you have given me permission to do this. Yeah, I'm going to benefit. But we
yes
agree.
And no. And and my perspective is, I am not one to pretty things when they're ugly. And I'm not going to get in. I just personally am not the type of person who's going to get into walking around on eggshells trying to reword my sentences because it might offend somebody. I have an issue with that. I think people are way far too sensitive about things, and the definition of ignorance is exactly what you gave us. So, you know, that's just not my nature. But it's also not my nature to sit back and say that we are closing off a lot of opportunity. You know, we have so many beautiful pictures of Vietnam War, and I say that they are beautiful. They're not, the story is not beautiful, but there were so many, even for 9/11, we have some amazing photography and videography of what happened and people's lives and the impact that it made across, you know, the world. Nobody is going to stop somebody in a situation like that and say, hey, can you sign a waiver? Can I get permission to, oh, watch out, Brick. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of having the ability, I think, to be able to capture those moments as they happen. And so now we have these images that are really haunting in a lot of ways to share with generations moving forward, and in hopes to educate that we don't repeat the Holocaust, that we don't repeat the Vietnam War, that we don't repeat 9/11. So that's where I kind of just go, oh, come on, you know?
Well, yeah, and I guess I'm thinking much more micro, right?
Right.
And I said investigative journalists, and so, you know, I was thinking, you know, you deliberately go in and try to hide that you're recording. You know,
yeah.
I understand
like
what you're saying, and I don't disagree, right? You know, it would
but
be great
that
if you
middle.
Could... Hmm?
It's fine.
Excuse me?
This conversation is like all the conversations that we have as people who want to do better for the world and be better in the world. And it's how do you find a compromise when it's
right.
so gray? The world is very gray. You know, homelessness is very gray. Politics is very gray.
Yeah.
It's not red or blue. You know, that's not what it's about. And that's why I like your program a lot. And this is a perfect place because we are on the half seas for you to give us your website and contact information if you want that to go international.
All right. Well, the website, oddly enough, is CincinnatiHackingHomelessness.com. And there is a contact us form at the bottom if you'd like to reach me directly. I'm on all social media, and a good email is michael@awakenedinnovations.com.
Now, I have to exploit you for a moment and let everyone know that I was actually had so much fun with you on your radio show a few weeks back that I had to have you on mine. And so where do we find information about your radio show?
Yeah, so just Google Awakening Innovations Podcast, and it will come up there. You can find it on all of my social media, and I'm sure on yours. So it's hosted on Anchor,
right.
But it's found anywhere podcasts are found.
So, Lovebug, tell us what you do on your podcast. What is the purpose of your podcast?
Yeah. So it actually came out of Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness, to be honest. So I've thought of a podcast for a while. And as I was getting started with Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness, I decided that I'm looking for innovative solutions. So I wanted to talk to people who saw some sort of need in the world, some gap in the marketplace, and came up with an innovative solution. The other side that I've become very interested in and relates directly to what we were talking about, I want to talk to I refer to who've been through the fire and succeeded. And so it came originally, the idea was people who have been homeless in the past and are now succeeding in some manner. And so I want to tell their stories. I want people who are in the fire today to know that there's a way, or that it can pass and things can get better. And I should say I do a lot more than homelessness. I also want to tell the world these stories, right? And right now I'm telling these stories from the viewpoint of someone who's been through it and is now, in reality, they're back in society. People who are homeless are pretty much excluded from society. And so I want everybody to understand that people are going through a phase of life. You know, it does not define them. The reality is, when we say they are homeless, it's a misnomer, right? Because that indicates it's permanent. You know, they're currently homeless. Something like that, because it is a transition that they're going through. Or whatever it is. I loved talking to you, and another couple that I talked to, because there's different levels of success. He had been arrested as a child for drug dealing, and in fact, his parents had been arrested because of him. He went to prison for a while, and she had been molested as a child, and now they're married, and they've got the most beautiful, cutest little baby girl, and they're happy. And that was the story of success that I was most interested in. They help people going through struggles. They do great work, don't get me wrong. But success can mean that you find someone and you're happy. I mean, success is how
you define
it.
And I love that about you. You know, success is really getting out of your storm. You know, and whatever that means for you, and however your path unfolds, it unfolds the way it's supposed to. That's universal law, right? But success doesn't necessarily mean that you have a BMW and you got this big multi-million mansion somewhere in Brooklyn, you know. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a form of success. And that's something that I find very intriguing about TV, which you know I hate. There's just a gross amount of focus on that kind of success versus getting good grades. There's not a lot of focus on that, is there? It's a lot of commercial consumerism that we're just shrouded in. And how do we educate ourselves when we're being beaten over the head with stuff that has no true value? I mean, how do you feel like you can be successful when the only thing you know of as success is having a new Lexus or having, you know, the 2.5 kids?
So I did business coaching in the past, and because of that, Facebook has decided still, I got out of business coaching 2.5 years ago. They think that I still am a business coach. And so they show me these ads from people, you know, here's my Lamborghini, here's my garage full of Lamborghinis, and talk to me and I'll help you get one. And I'm just like, that's not me. And so how do you escape it? That's, you know, the reality is that's one of society's biggest questions. You know, religion talks about that. The New Age spirituality, a lot of that talks about it. And my experience is it's an individual thing. So one example, okay, I was at this high-level mastermind back when I was a business coach. And the lady who put it on at the end went around and said, you know, what's your goal? And I said, my goal is $200 million a year. And I said, I want that because there's a lot of stuff I want to do in the world. And about 2 weeks later, it hit me, and it was, you know, like a light from heaven. And I called her up, and I said, I figured it out. I want to make $200 million a year in impact. I don't need that as cash to me. I want to make that impact. And so you know, it's a lot of introspection and getting rid of TV, like you and I have both done.
Well, and I think that that is, you know, something that's actually attainable. You can really have that impact if you want it, if you're willing to work for it, if you're willing to put yourself out there, if you're willing to make the time. And
right.
That's the key that people, I think, give up on. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine who does so much wonderful work in our society that was just feeling blah, like almost giving up because she just didn't feel like the last few years she's made a huge impact. And we had to sit down and really talk about that and go through the step-by-step. You know, you have two beautiful kids and they're part of you and your influence on them, they are now able to influence others the same or similar or a part of, you know, and breaking it down into very micro pieces, it, I think, is a huge help because you have to remind yourself there are days where you feel very defeated.
You know? Yeah. Yep.
And no matter what the subject is, you know.
Tell me about that.
And
yeah.
You know, you're just like, all right, you know, universe, God, Allah, whatever your belief system is, everybody looks up at the sky. Everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, come on now.
Right.
And,
yeah. For
you know,
me,
we don't
it depends on
give
the hour rather
credit.
Than the day, but okay.
Huh?
I was just saying that for me, it depends on the hour rather than the day. So, yeah. So in terms of, you know, how can you make yourself feel better at things, there are a million ways. One of my mentors loves to do called a success journal. You know, anytime that you accomplish something, anytime that you succeed at something, write it down. And write down small things. You know, get 10 things in a day. Depending on where you are, I've got a friend, she is going through major depression now. She has trouble getting out of bed. She has trouble doing anything. And for her, I would say, write in your success journal, got out of bed at 8 o'clock like I planned. You know, I did my 2 hours of online study. So, you know, focus on the positives. Focus on the success. Focus on positivity. Now, a lot of people are pushing back on that, but I'll tell you, it works for me. When I start focusing on the negatives and the quote-unquote failures, I call that my death spiral, right? I can really, really bring myself down. Or I can think of the successes and celebrate your successes, whatever a success is for you. And again, don't say, you know, as soon as I lose 50 pounds, I'm going to celebrate it. No. Celebrate at the beginning. Celebrate that you didn't have that snack or you walked by the donuts. Be happy about that.
It's
and then
a little
that
thing.
Becomes commonplace. Excuse me?
It's the little things.
Yeah. And then once the little things become easy, set a higher bar. You know, don't stop celebrating walking by the donuts, but you know, then maybe you celebrate every pound, you know. I don't know. I've never tried systematically losing weight, so this is not really the best example. But,
that's
you
right.
know, people can understand that it's painful, I think. I need to. I just haven't, right?
I'm down 40, man. I'm down 40. I'm psyched.
Awesome.
But
I hope you're celebrating.
Oh, I celebrate just waking up. I get to be ornery and mischief one more day. Shoot, yeah. You know I love that. Bring it.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful, and I think taking baby steps in any direction is required, and I think taking time with whatever it is that you choose to do is very important. We're in a fast paced fast food society now, and I don't think people take enough time to think, to meditate, to just have fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A little hedonism doesn't kill anybody. A lot does, but a little's good. You know, and be mindful of each other. And then back to the education piece, I think we do not cherish the abilities that we have in accessing truthful and factual information and educating ourselves. And I think we are a far more armed society when we can use our brain for what it's meant to be used for. And that goes into having constructive conversations on how to solve problems, which is what your organization does. And I hope to see lots more of that in the future, because we need that badly.
Yeah. Well, as I said, next goal is 100 cities, and the next goal is the world. So.
All right, Pinky.
I had a conversation.
Time to take over the world.
I had a conversation with this guy today, and he just kept coming up with more and more ideas. I'm like, dude, I love every single one, but I can't do them all today.
I like that, though. I like it when people are popcorn, you know? That's when it gets really exciting, when you have somebody that you can popcorn with. And for those who listen to the radio show, they know what I mean by that. But for those who are new, it's where you get excited about an idea that grows into another idea that grows into another idea, like kernels pop in a pan making popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very exciting to open up that part of your brain, because we don't use that as much as we should. But when you're with people who can do that, it's like, yes, God, this is awesome. Because you get a high off of it, this huge energetic rush.
Yes. And I should point out that people who like to do that should join us for Cincinnati Hacking Homelessness. June 6th or 7th in Cincinnati. Because honestly, that is what I want to do. When I first started planning this, my goal was 100 ideas. I have cut that back, sort of. In the morning, my plan is blue sky visioning. We've got a couple of strategies to help with that. But I want to come up with the craziest ideas and then figure out how we can turn them into something functional. Because I want new and innovative ideas. So apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to popcorn. Is that a verb or how does that work?
You want to pop like popcorn. Pop a pop a pop.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's an action. It's not anything more than really opening up and expanding consciousness about this particular topic, you know? And if more people did that, God, what an amazing freaking planet we'd live on. I mean, we already live on a pretty freaking amazing planet, but like times up by quadruple, right? Whoa.
Yeah.
Holy nuts. That's why I get excited about this radio show, and I get excited about radio shows like yours, because it makes people pop. And that docuseries is highly recommended. Humans, YouTube, dude, whoa, amazing, you know? And you get a perspective that is really quite awakening. You know, these people are people, and some of them are hungry, and like, you know what I mean? It's not just about you. It's not just about your TV shows. There's a beautiful, amazing world out there that we need to tap into more and really have popcorn conversations about.
Yeah. And
we've got about 5 minutes
and
left, and I need you to give us your information one more time after you point out what you're going to point out. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I want to point out that for this event, the first groups that we want, I call them living on the edge, living on the streets, living on the edge, so people about to fall into homelessness, and then people climbing out and their families. I want them part of the conversation, so we're talking about real humans. So I want to hear their stories. Contact information is CincinnatiHackingHomelessness.com, and the email is Michael at awakened.com. innovations.com. And the podcast to find your episode is just Google Awakening Innovations Podcast.
All right, so we got a few more minutes left, my friend. What is it? What else would you like to do? What else would you like to be when you grow up? What inspires you to get out of bed aside from your dog?
Right. To be a great dad. So my son is at Ohio State right now in his second year. My daughter is in high school. She's a junior. She plays soccer, loves it. It's kind of cool. She's planning a gap year after high school. She wants to travel to Australia and go to the Great Barrier Reef, do some work there. She wants to go to someplace down near or off South Africa and work with something, some big sea creatures of some sort. She wants to go to Brazil, to the Amazon, and do some work there, as well as visit Machu Picchu on the way home. So my son was doing physics. He's now doing psychology. He's looking to go to Germany this summer. And so, I mean, they're really the big thing. What gets me up is those two and my dog saying I need to get outside.
Yep. They do that quite nicely, don't they?
Yeah.
My little one, Bella, likes to take her snout and she'll take her nose against my face. Come on, Mom. Let's go. Like, really, come on.
Yeah, it is. They're cute. Although sometimes it would be nice. It's funny, right? So I'm driving home and I'm like, oh, if I walk into my apartment, I have to take her for a walk. And okay, I could do 5 minutes. I'll probably do a half hour. I'm starving. Okay, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go into this restaurant and eat because I can't even carry the food home.
That's not good. Come on now. We got to save money for Machu Picchu.
Right. So poor Izzy, on occasion, I get home half hour or an hour later because I'm too tired and hungry to want to take her out instantly when I get in. I'm on the third floor of this apartment building. I have to walk up and down the stairs. And once I get down the stairs, I might as well walk around the top property. So
we love our four-legged children, but boy, can they be a lot of work sometimes.
Yes. Izzy is very cute.
So, is there any last thoughts that you have before I have to let you go, my friends? Because I know you got this big meeting coming up. I'm excited to hear all about it.
Right. So, really, if there's anybody interested in this concept, whether they're here or not, I would love to hear from you. If you have connections, if you know people who would make a good story, just like you, I want the stories to get out. And that's, you know, that's what I'm really interested in, is talking to people and helping to improve the world. So anybody out there who shares that, I'd love to chat, just learn more about you.
Yay! Well, keep up the good work. I am so excited to have run across you. I don't even remember how we met, but we connected somehow, and I love what you're doing. Stay connected to me, please. And I have a whole list of people that would love to talk to you. So let me know
awesome.
If you're going to be open to that conversation, because you're on my Facebook, aren't you? Or is it just LinkedIn?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, I'll connect you that way.
We are
when I get
Facebook,
home.
Yeah.
And that way
awesome.
We can
thank
just
you.
Get
I appreciate
you rock and
so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're listening to Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and we just had a fantastic conversation with Michael Barnes. Check him out. Awaken Innovation. Right? Is that right? Did I screw it up?
Correct.
Yeah, you did it.
Awakened Innovations. Yeah.
He's moving and shaking and doing some great things in the world. And, you know, give him a call. Email him. Text him. Do something. Help him. Help everyone else. Know that I love you. Know that you are beautiful. Know that today is just a beautiful day no matter what, because you're in it, you're alive, and we can make it exciting. And being mischievous is okay. Have fun with your life. It's a good life. Turn off the damn TV. Go outside and play, even if you're 50. Until next Thursday, know that you're loved. I will talk to you soon.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
All right, so we're done.